What do you do before an operation or a dental procedure? Somebody with severe disease, do you prophylactic?
Yes, exactly. So, you know, that apart from the severe patients having these spontaneous joint and muscle bleeds, we absolutely want to know when our patients are having procedures, be it dental or surgery, so that we can determine how to prevent them from having bleeding after the procedure. And frequently, not always, that will involve an infusion of a clotting factor given, you know, within an hour of the procedure.
What issues or concerns do women have?
The issue with women carriers is that on average, they will have 50% of that clotting factor level if they're a carrier factor 8 or 9. And that's plenty. But there's a strange phenomenon in nature when we're in the embryo and in the womb that it's called lionization, but it means that some women carriers are very skewed. They actually have factor 8 or 9 levels that are quite low. They can be, you know, 5%, 10%. So they sort of behave like a mild – well, they are a mild hemophiliac. And so menstruation can be an issue. Bleeding after procedures can be an issue. It's quite variable among women because it's a random procedure how much factor 8 they end up with or factor 9.
How do patients deal with pain?
Well, let me preface that the answer by saying that the care of hemophilia patients has dramatically changed over the last 30 years, where instead of just treating bleeds when they occur early, which might be twice a month for a severe hemophilia patients, we're now in the era of what's called prophylaxis. So these patients will take clotting factor on a regular basis throughout the week to prevent bleeds. So I'm seeing kids, young adults who are coming through from the pediatricians, they're being passed over to our care in the adult clinic, who are 18, 20 years old with near pristine joint function. Uh-huh. I have a group of hemophilia patients who are 45 years and above, many of whom have very destructive joint disease, arthritis and destructive joint disease that is beyond the point where clotting factor is going to do much except prevent further bleeding, but certainly the joint is already damaged. So it's a generational thing, really, that if our biggest issue is trying to maintain compliance with young adults as they move into independence from mom and go to college and start work and so on, so that they understand the importance of prevention, essentially. So, but to answer your question more directly, certainly chronic joint pain is an issue in hemophilia. And there may be a situation where what we try to do is identify if a particular joint would be amenable to orthopedic procedure. We work a lot with our orthopedic colleagues, whether it be total joint replacement, hips and knees particularly, some ankles, some shoulders. There are other joint fusion procedures, et cetera, that so we work. It's important to have an orthopedist who sort of understands hemophilia and its issues.
What's the life expectancy of somebody in the more modern era for somebody who's 20 years old right now, for example, and who does prophylactic therapy?
So that the life expectancy in 1960 was 11 years of age for a hemophilia patient with severe disease. Now, it's basically normal. With good treatment in developed countries, it's basically normal. We've had a number of what's called twinning activities with developing countries throughout the world. In my experience, we're on our fourth one right now with Zimbabwe. If you go to Zimbabwe and look at the outcomes in hemophilia patients, they're very different from here. You can see the effect of not having treatment on life expectancy and also joint damage and so on.
In Zimbabwe,
we also previously worked with Republic of Georgia, with Armenia, and with Ethiopia, and they're all in various stages of development of their hemophilia programs. But so-called World Federation of Hemophilia, which I used to be on the board of, is a very effective organization in bringing or initiating care in these countries that can be remarkably successful, actually, despite the fact that it's a rare and expensive disease to treat with the right advocacy and involvement of patient groups, particularly, as well as physicians. It can be very effective.